Well, this morning we're going to get another update from the Cass County Department of Public Health and Director Beth Olson. Beth, good morning.
Hi, how are you today?
Well, good. Still healthy. And that's a good thing. We've had a few more cases of COVID-19 reported here in our county and in surrounding counties as well. Is that kind of expected, though, with expanded testing?
It certainly is. And, you know, we've been saying that all along, that it's been here, and it's just as the testing expands, as there's more testing opportunities, you know, locally and through the Test Iowa sites, we're going to find more cases. And when we find more cases and public health does the contact tracing, then we find more individuals that should probably come in to be tested. So, you know, you're right. It just kind of snowballs one thing to the next, and we'll expect to see more cases as this goes on.
Sure. Beth, I want to talk a little bit this morning about process and how some of this stuff works for folks who, you know, maybe haven't been through it or kind of just wondered a little bit. There are different types of reasons, I suppose, different reasons that folks would get tests. There might be direct contact with someone who's already positive. You know, there might be some other issues. Maybe someone just is feeling ill and isn't sure if the symptoms are. I mean, there are several reasons why folks might actually get a COVID-19 test.
Absolutely. And, you know, you talked about a few of them there. If you're symptomatic and you're ill and needing to go to see a healthcare provider and you have a lot of the classic symptoms, you know, they are probably going to swab you for the coronavirus and do a nasopharyngeal swab for that. You know, some people are being tested. They feel totally fine, but they've been in contact, close contact with somebody that has come down with COVID. And so they've talked with us, public health, and we've said, hey, you know, you would qualify to be tested. And then, you know, there's others that are just kind of interested and wanting to do more surveillance testing. And some individuals are driving, you know, to a Test Iowa site or have gone to Rex Pharmacy to be tested and, you know, and just kind of want to see, hey, maybe I have it and I feel fine. So, you know, we've seen a variety of people kind of, you know, choose different testing options based on what their, you know, what their qualifications are.
Mm-hmm. After a test is performed, no matter what type of test or how it's done, whether it's self-administered or at the health facility, what happens at that point?
So that test is sent to whatever lab that it needs to go to, whether it goes to the state hygienic lab or a reference laboratory, such as like the Mayo Clinic, and that test is run. And then when that result comes back, all positive and negatives are reported back to you know, the laboratory where you were swabbed, as well as the Iowa Department of Public Health. So at that time, if you do have a positive test result that's sent to the Iowa Department of Public Health, the Iowa Department of Public Health notifies local public health, so me and my team here, and then we get a notice that we have a new COVID positive case in the county and that we need to start our contact tracing process.
Sure, and I want to talk about that in just a minute. But first, I got to ask you, you know, there are different reasons, as we mentioned up front, for why someone would take a test. Some might be more severe, some might be just kind of curiosity. But is there a prioritization when those test results are sent in? Like, example, if someone is already showing symptoms or has had immediate contact with someone with it, is that kind of bumped up a little bit in priority?
I wouldn't say that they're bumped up, but they're sent to a different site to be tested. So anybody who calling high priority, so maybe they're high priority or they qualify for to be sent to the state hygienic lab because of where they work. Maybe they're, you know, one of those essential functions such as, you know, EMS, fire, law enforcement, a healthcare provider, or a long-term care facility. You know, individuals who might live in a residential type facility. So if somebody from a nursing home needed testing or somebody else that lived in, you know, other sort of residential care, kids that go to childcare with the latest recommendations that we're seeing of kids coming down with some additional illnesses that we didn't know previously existed with the COVID-19 that we've seen on the eastern side of the state there, that multi-system inflammatory illness. So there's certain laboratories have specifications, I should say, to be short. I can get into way too much detail for what we have time for, but, you know, so depending on what your situation is, your lab result would probably either go to the state hygienic lab or it might go to Mayo. And, you know, those test results have a varying amount of time from when they come back. And it also depends when the courier comes to pick up those samples and drive them to those labs as well. So,
sure.
It's all kind of moving pieces. So it all just kind of depends on the situation. But I wouldn't say that, you know, one is prioritized over the other, but it certainly might go to a certain lab over the other because of the qualifications that it might have.
Gotcha. I want to talk about quarantine real quick. At what point should someone consider quarantining? And what does that mean to you when you say that somebody needs to be quarantined? How does that go? How does that happen?
So really, we're asking any Iowan who is feeling ill to isolate at home, you know, whether you're tested for COVID-19 or not. You know, right now, if you're feeling ill and you have those typical symptoms that we've been talking about for the past several months, we're assuming that you have coronavirus, and we do expect you to isolate at home. And especially if you get a positive test result, you're under public health's watch, and we monitor you and any close contacts you might have had. But we expect you to stay home, and, you know, it is the right thing to do. And so what does that mean? You know, that means staying home. If others in your family are not sick or not showing symptoms, we want you to even isolate away from your own family members. And that's really hard for people to do sometimes. So if you have to be by family members, we want you to wear a mask, and we want you to clean up after yourself and try and use separate bedrooms or bathrooms when you can. And, you know, if everyone in the household's sick, you don't have to isolate away from each other as much because you all have it probably, and you've all been exposed to each other. But, you know, we want to try and prevent household contacts from getting it if we can. You know, and that means not going to the stores. That means finding somebody to run errands for you and drop groceries or other essentials on, you know, on your porch steps. And, you know, you can, of course, you know, sit on your porch and, you know, we don't want you interacting with neighbors or neighborhood kids or anything like that, though. So, you know, we want people to keep that distance from people, especially while they're in that infectious period.
Sure. Not an easy process, but one that is important. You mentioned
Absolutely.
Contact tracing earlier, and we've heard that terminology over and over again over the last many weeks. What does that mean for you as an agency? What does that mean also for folks who may have come in contact with someone?
Sure. And so contact tracing, you know, it's a new buzzword for the public, of course, but contact tracing is something that public health does all the time with any infectious disease that comes through. So it's not a new process for us. It's just a different disease that we're doing contact tracing for. So, you know, if you think back to if we've had pertussis or whooping cough outbreaks, we do contact tracing with that. So it's a very normal public health process for us. It's nothing different than what we do. It's like I said, we're just focusing on you know, the known facts about coronavirus and how to best implement those to protect spread in our community.
Is it literally someone sitting down having a discussion about who they've been in contact with recently?
It is. And so right now the CDC calls somebody a close contact if you've been within 6 feet for more than 15 minutes. So those are the individuals that we take names and contact information down for, and we call. We just, you know, get on the phone and we call each of those individuals, and we, of course, can't release any specifics about who they've been around. But, you know, most of the time people, you know, tell their contacts first before we call them, just to give them a heads up. And we let them know that they've been in close contact and they need to self-isolate for 14 days from their last exposure to that individual. You know, and should they come down with signs or symptoms, we would recommend they get tested. It's not required, but it's a good thing so we can have a little bit more accurate picture of what the case counts are in our county, as well as, you know, if they're positive, then we'd go to that next layer of, okay, so who have their contacts been? So it just kind of keeps the ball rolling on trying to get ahead of the spread and isolating individuals that need to be isolated.
Yeah, those can't be easy phone calls to make.
You know, they're not. And, you know, people have been really pretty gracious with us and understanding. And especially, you know, when working with employers, you know, they're pretty versed in all of this. And, you know, it's people have been very willing to work with us and talk through us. And they're not afraid to ask questions and, you know, kind of question why things are the way they are. And, you know, we're happy to explain that. And we're happy to share the CDC guidance. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's about protecting yourself and your family members, your neighbors, your coworkers. So keeping people home is really the right thing to do. And, you know, like I said, most of our cases have wanted to contact individuals first themselves, just so they can say, hey, heads up, public health's going to call you. And that always helps us out, too, because it's not such a shocking phone call then when we call.
You bet. Well, and it's also a lot of faith and trust, I guess, too, because we don't send out armed guards. We don't lock people in a room.
That's right. We absolutely don't do that. You know, we do have the ability through the Cass County Board of Health that we could issue isolation and quarantine orders. So there'd be a little more teeth to that where, you know, law enforcement could get involved and they could issue citations. And, you know, we don't want to go to that level. We're trusting people to be, you know, good citizens and, you know, keep other people healthy and, you know, understand that, you know, for them it might be a very mild illness, but for other people this could mean life or death. So, you know, we're trusting people to do the right thing here and stay home if we do contact them. But like I said, if we have to go to that next step and, you know, get a quarantine and isolation order and we can do that. But you know, a lot of times people just need more education of why it's so important that they just stay put for the time that we've given them.
And that's what we're doing here today. That's how that works. Very good. Well, so far so good. Stay safe, stay healthy. And one of the ways to do that is just to be smart and follow along with what the guidance says to do. Well, Beth, thank you so much. Appreciate it. And I know it's a lot of work in doing this day to day, but we appreciate all you guys are doing.